The competition is supported by Performance Today, a daily guided tour of music and concerts from around the world. Find out more about Performance Today and give them a listen. Head to yourclassical.org. Again, that's yourclassical.org, and then click on Performance Today.
Every pianist wants to apply to this competition at least once in their lifetime. I felt like I was ready for it.
Sunna Park is one of the top 30 contestants in this year's Van Cliburn International Piano Competition. She's currently studying at the Yale School of Music in New Haven, Connecticut, and she started playing the piano when she was 4 years old. These days, Sunna practices for 5 or more hours a day, every day of the week. That may sound like a lot of time, but this is her last chance to compete in the Cliburn. She's 28, and the cutoff age for the competition is 30. So for this episode, we're just going to dive into Sunna's story. Let's start with how she got into playing piano.
Well, my sister, she's also a pianist, and my mom used to be an opera singer, so like we have this musical family thing going on, so I was always surrounded by music.
Your mom, like, how was she involved in terms of you playing piano? Did she drive you to practices? Did she encourage you to practice?
Well, I guess she was the soccer mom version for piano. So, yeah, I mean, she had, like, this little piano school in Busan, Korea, where I was actually born. It was hard for me to be motivated, I guess. My sister, when she was like 7, 8, or 9, I don't remember, she was already playing with orchestras in Korea, and she would be on TV wearing like puffy dresses, and then my mom lured me, and she was saying, hey, so if you practice a lot, you could be like your sister, you know, you could wear pretty dresses and be on TV. And apparently my answer was, good, then she can practice and be on TV, and I'll stay home and watch TV. So, yeah, that was me.
Oh, my gosh. What was the turning point? What made you decide to take it seriously?
So my parents actually moved to the States for our education and a better life, the new American dream. So I guess that happened when I was little, and maybe my sister realized it more than I did, because, you know, she's the older child of the family. And I know my parents went through a lot for us and for them to start a new life, and it must have been difficult. But I just, at that age, I didn't realize, you know, what a huge change it was for them, you know, in their probably like late 30s, early 40s. And I mean, the language and cultural barrier. Yeah, it must have been really difficult for them. But I think, I don't know if it's just my parents or if it's a cultural thing, but they try to, not hide it, but like they try to take it really, like, really cool. Like, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's just what every family, Asian family, in a new country has to go through. And I mean, I'm really thankful and grateful for the things my parents had to go through for us to have this life today, you know? I mean, life in Korea could have been great too, but maybe it would have been different.
That's a huge sacrifice. For Sunna's parents to leave their family, friends, and home behind for her and her sister. And I know about that struggle. My parents did the same thing. They immigrated to the U.S. from Korea so that I could have a better life. And just like Sunna, it took me a while to realize how selfless that truly was. But my experience growing up in the U.S., especially with my horrible English as a kid, was not a fun one. I won't repeat the names that kids called me on the playground, because who would want to relive that? But Sunna, on the other hand, her experience growing up here was a little better.
When I first started going to school in America, like, I couldn't speak a word of English. Oh, but it was so weird. I was talking to my friends who were, you know, Caucasian, but they understood me perfectly.
What?
And then, yeah, it's so weird with little kids, and my teacher wouldn't understand what I want, and they would, like, translate for me. So I wonder what? If, you know, they had like, yeah, like subconsciously learn Korean or something. I have no idea how kids do that, but yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I don't even like remember, you know, suffering to like learn English. It just came really naturally, yeah.
Oh, good.
It just absorbed, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you didn't get, like, people didn't tease you then, right?
No, I think they were just fascinated. And I think kids that age, they don't have, you know, the prejudice or, like, pre-assumption yet. So I think they're very open, and I was lucky to have really good friends.
One of her closest friends was her older sister, Esther. It was easy for them to get along since they're both pianists. And they actually ended up auditioning and getting into the same school when they were younger, Juilliard's pre-college program. Plus, with Esther being the, let's say, more experienced piano player of the two, Sana got some pretty handy tips from her big sis.
I used to have bad habits. I wouldn't play scales with like all five fingers. Like I would have horrible fingerings. I would just play scales with two fingers. And she'd be like, why are you doing that? Or I would not play the left hand, or I would make stuff up, not look at the music. Yeah. So those like basic little things. But I mean, you have to start with the basic little things. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one who got rid of a lot of my bad habits. She helps me to listen to like really little details that the teachers hear, but like maybe they don't have time to go over it with you. And mm-hmm. you know, even to this day, I would be practicing in my room and I would have my phone next to my music desk, which is not a good habit anyway. But I would be practicing sometimes like mindlessly, and then she would be sending me a text and she'd be like, do you not hear the accents? And oh, she's like, God. Yeah, she's like outside in the living room or something in her room. Yeah. So it's kind of, yeah, it's fun and scary at the same time, having someone like constantly listen to you practice.
How much older is your sister?
She's 4 years older, and she was actually a previous Clyburn contestant.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about her experience at the Clyburn.
I think she was a freshman at Juilliard when she first participated in the competition.
Yeah. So, how old was she? Do you remember?
So she must have been like 18 or 19 at most. Yeah, okay. She was really young, yeah. She was really stressed. I think she lost a lot of weight preparing for the competition. Gosh. Yeah, I saw her at the piano tryout, and I remember going into the hall. It's, I think it's called the Bass Hall, and mm-hmm. remembering how huge the stage was and how long the pianist had to walk from the stage entrance to the piano, because the stage and the hall is so huge, and I was so nervous. I don't remember how she played. I'm sure she played well, but I was so nervous. I couldn't even remember how she played, and I think she played well. She was just in the first round. So
wow. So she got the top 30 and then
right.
got knocked out after that.
Yeah.
Was it hard for her emotionally that she didn't get through to the final round, and did she see kind of like a boost in her reputation and career?
I even remember like newspaper reporters coming to our house to interview her. They took our pictures together. Yeah, it was a big deal. And then,
oh my gosh, they took your picture too.
Yeah, like the whole family picture. Like you see her in the foreground, and we're like standing and smiling really proudly in the background. Yeah, I think that photo's still at home. Yeah, I wonder if I can find it. I think she was just happy being there. I mean, it was a stressful event, but yeah, I think she did the best she can do, and we were all very supportive and proud of her, and she was happy with what she did.
You can say that Sana is following in Esther's footsteps, since she also made it into the top 30 of the Clyburn, and their relationship is just as supportive as ever. When Sana got the news that she made it into the next round, one of the first people she called was her sister.
Yeah, like I think when I told her she was teaching, but like she came out in the middle of their lesson to call me, and we talked about it, and she helped me to decide the program. We talked about it a lot, and yeah, and she's like, oh, make sure you get to wear all your pretty dresses, you know, the stuff, sister stuff.
That program that Sana mentioned, she's talking about the pieces she has to choose, practice, and memorize for the competition. In total, it's around 4.5 hours of music. Yeah, that's a lot. But that's one reason the Clyburn is on another level than other piano competitions. The preliminary round, which takes place in late May, is a 45-minute recital where Sana gets to choose all of the pieces she'll play. One of the pieces she's preparing is by Schumann. It's called Humoresque, Opus 20.
I recently this year fell in love with Schumann, and I just really like the composer and how open and direct he is musically. I don't know, I think with Schumann's music, I find it so honest.
Do you think that piece expresses something about you that you can't say in words?
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, this piece was written actually when Schumann was 28, and probably published around when he was 29, which is my age. So maybe that's why it resonates more, because I don't know, if the composer was thinking and going through the same things that I am going through right now, as I am 28, 29 now.
Yeah.
And this piece was written in Vienna when he was forced to separate with his love of his life, Clara, because her father didn't want them to get married. And he wrote in a letter to her, this is like the most melancholic piece he has ever written, but the name is Humoresque, but I mean, it's not literally like a humorous piece. It embodies many different moods. Sometimes he's really happy and capricious and dark things. I mean, just, I think, you know, mid to late 20s is a very confusing time, especially for maybe as artists, because you're not young, but you're not quite old.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe Schumann's going through the same thing. There is a touch of innocence and youth, and then also moments of reflection and, the things that you didn't think about when you were younger. I don't know, so that's just how I feel.
What are you going through right now?
Well, I'm at my last year at Yale now. So I guess, this uncertainty of what's going to happen. Now, I wasn't expecting to do this huge competition just a few months ago. And now that I just uncertainty. But at the same time, there is also this conviction that I'll be doing what I love to do most, which is playing. So,
yeah.
It's just like a mix of feelings.
We'll see if Sana's conviction resonates with the judges come May 25th. Coming up on our next episode, we'll meet one more contestant, Rachel Kudo.
I never felt like I fit in either country. Like when I was in Japan, I felt I was American. And then when I came here, part of me was Japanese. I've always felt this conflict, and I think it's always going to be there.
The competition is hosted by me, James Kim. Producers are Cameron Kell and Alyssa Dudley. And this outro music is by Andrew Eapen. Until next time.
I'm Fred Child, the host of APM's Performance Today, your daily guided tour of concerts around the world. PT is glad to support this podcast, the competition, and by the way, I'll be there at the final round of the 2017 Van Cliburn competition. I'll be the MC for the awards ceremony on June 10th. Check out more from the Cliburn and from the classical scene around the planet. Go to yourclassical.org, click on Performance Today.